I'd like to call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied. That adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette, posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Before we do anything else, we have Resolution 107-2013, appointing Ann Kilduff as our acting borough clerk. We need to do that first off, that was on your desk.
So moved.
Second, okay, is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Now, if you'd all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Gleba.
Here.
Jewell.
Here.
Torres.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Conrie.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
I'm here to answer questions.
It was upon my request, so thank you for coming.
Okay.
It's more a request for the future. I was kind of shocked to read in the Express Times about the war wagon, and I'm just asking that, you know, in the future, because, you know, our taxpayers do pay 50% of even the ongoing maintenance. You know, this governing body has a responsibility to them, and it was kind of, like, I know you went to the, before the committee in September, I would just ask that, you know, you afford us the same courtesy in the future, you know? When it comes to, I know, like, capital purchases, you know, we kind of do have a say. And, you know, it just kind of, like I said, to read in the Express Times is kind of, like, shocking to me, and I was, you know, just a little, you know, alarmed that, you know, we weren't given the same courtesy to know that this thing was coming into our town, you know?
Well, if I could explain that, first off, I don't refer to it as a war wagon. That was the, that was the freeholder's word for it. It's actually called a peacekeeper, and we refer to it as a rescue vehicle. As far as it being purchased, there was no purchase.
Right, but there's ongoing maintenance.
Now, this vehicle cost zero. I secured donations prior to obtaining possession of the vehicle, and there were enough in donations for the maintenance of this vehicle for as long as I can say. The maintenance on this vehicle, contrary to the freeholder's calculations, is an oil change a year. That's it. And we have about $5,000 set aside for the maintenance of this vehicle.
I mean, it needs to replace a tire. I mean, I'm not here to go over what it's going to be, but again, had you come before us, we would have had that from you as compared to what was written in the Express Times. So that's all I'm asking. I think since we have a shared service, it's important that we have, you know, an open line of communications.
A little better PR to the council and the borough, I think, you know, I think would be recommended. I agree with Janine.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, Chief, is just there's no cost to the borough currently.
Right.
There's no cost.
There won't be in the future.
In the future that you can see.
Correct.
Correct, yes. I don't see any cost. As I understand, there's some advantages to having this rescue vehicle then. Well, I've lived in Warren County my entire life. I remember a shooting in Hackettstown along the railroad tracks where seven people were shot down, and several of them were friends of mine. And I remember the rescue.
Is that the motorcycle club thing?
No, that was, this is before that.
This was the 70s.
This was Emil Benoist, it was in '77. And I remember the rescue vehicles not being able to proceed forward until the scene was secured. Would it have made a difference back then? I'm not sure. Right now, the survival rate for a gunshot victim that can say, "I've been shot," that, in other words, they weren't killed immediately, is 90% if they get medical attention within an hour. I responded to the shooting in Hackettstown with a bike club where two were killed and one was severely wounded. There were over 300 people there when we responded. It would have been really nice to be able to roll in there with a bulletproof vehicle instead of how we did. Fortunately, they all laid down their guns because they figured more of us were coming than they had, I guess. There have also been several shootings in Phillipsburg, and we had one the other day, New Bull Apartments, where someone shot at a woman. Had she been hit and he went back in his house and barricaded himself in, the only way we could have gotten to the victim without being in the line of fire would be with a vehicle like this. So yes, I think it's a very valuable vehicle. If there was a cost, like the freeholders thought there was, of $20,000, we wouldn't even have looked at it. But prior to the prosecutor going before the freeholders, several members of the Warren County Tactical Unit had gone down and looked at this vehicle. They thought it was in pretty good shape. I'm not sure if the freeholders heard what they wanted to hear, but when our mechanic went down, the engine's got 9,000 miles on it, quits on here, has 9,000 miles on it, and the body was in very good shape, so I just thought it'd be a very valuable piece of equipment, not only for Washington Township and Washington Borough, but for the entire county, because I know that our residents do go outside of the town. So it's a sporting event or a mall parking lot or something like that. It could very well be someone from here.
Anything else for the chief? Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Correspondence.
Make a motion to receive and file the correspondence.
Second. Okay. Is there any discussion on it? Sandy, would you like to say anything on it since the bid annual report is in there?
Thank you. Well, I know it's very hot this evening, so I will keep this very brief, and I know that most of you are very aware, and I thank all of you for your high level of participation and interest in what we do, and that in and of itself, with our partnership, having that really enabled us to get so much more done. And that's, I think, what is great about all of it. We all have some mutual goals here. So we have a professional business plan. We look out to 5 years on a cash flow. We have basic premises that we follow all the time. We submit to you and show you what our basic business plan is on an ongoing basis and what was submitted to you. Then we show and tell you about some highlights from the past year and some focus on what we will be doing for the upcoming year. So lots of information in here, and if I could just really keep it very brief and summarize what we do, public relations and marketing is a big part of that, making the borough, all of the PR and marketing about the borough, part of that is the events themselves. The events are designed to bring foot traffic into town, but also to create Washington as this great place to live, work, shop, visit, okay? And when you think about it, like, oh, you know what, I'm going to go for Halloween this year, we're going to go to Washington and hit up that business trick-or-treat before we take the kids to the residence. And you know what, this year we're going to go to the tree lighting in Washington Borough, and then you're like, oh, it's Friday, let's go down to Washington for the farmer's market. So as you keep doing this, you create yourself as a destination. So that is why there is so much of our budget funded towards that. And if you look at our administration costs, obviously that has to cover all of that, all of our hours and time for that. And then also physical improvements and maintenance are very important. Everything has to look very well. You don't just go out and fill vacancies. Now, it doesn't matter. I could be the best salesperson in the world. I could make the rent zero on something. It doesn't matter. These are professional, you want professional businesses. When they come in, they want to see physical improvements. And one of the other things, which really our developer that had appeared last week was talking about, which is density. And that's a big reason for the bid support of that, so that we can attract better businesses for you. And one of the things with the recruitment and retention is that this whole antiques and art niche is definitely on purpose. That is a big way that many communities and urban areas and other areas have used that strategy. There's tons and tons of studies on it and different places that have gone out and done it. And that's how you kind of, that's your start to gentrification. So obviously, you know, as Mrs. Sloan had intimated, you know, we do want to get a higher quality in. So that's what we're working to build that. You can't just say, oh, come. You know, it has to, all of these things that we work on, create it, create us as a place that they will come for the future. And it's a very long, hard process. So, and then again, the planning and the legal and the management. Everything that we do is professionally managed. I could tell you, up to like almost on a monthly basis, where our money's spent, how we spend it, everything signed for, everything is totally above board. Anyone can see it, look at it. Within this, you can see who our board is. They are elected through public. We mail to every single person who is a bid member, whether it's a commercial property owner or a business. They're all mailed a ballot and everything so that they have a choice to select the people who will help make decisions for the bid. And that is how the bid is run. I don't run it. You know, I do what is in the best interest and what is the voted wishes for the majority of the business and commercial property owners always keeping in mind that that is our ultimate goal and mission, is to make it increase the commercial property values, and in along with that, to have a vibrant and healthy business community, you need a healthy community in general. So that is why we really welcome and love working with all the various members of the community. So basically, that's it in a nutshell. Included in here at this point, we're giving you our annual audited financial report. So in addition to, on a monthly basis, I go through and look at every single account that we have in relation to budget and make sure that we're coming in on a budget on a monthly basis and a quarterly basis. After all that is done, our treasurer looks at it, our board votes on it, and then after all of that, an independent auditor, certified for nonprofits, comes in and reviews all of that again. So, and if there's any questions or anybody wants to spend some time with me in an air-conditioned office, I welcome and invite all of you to do so, and thank you again.
Thank you.
All right, any discussion on anything we've heard? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mr. Ferry, you're up for the municipal audit.
This should only take about 3 hours.
What? You've got 10 minutes.
3 hours.
You've got plenty of green tea, don't worry.
All right, so I'm going to give you the state of the state on the current fund. We've been doing very well. We have general ledgers. Our budget, as you know, looks very good. Our fund balance is tremendous. We had a slight increase in our rating from a bad outlook to a better outlook. So the Moody's is actually looking at us and saying, well, you know, they're a good bargain if you want to buy some bonds. So that's good signs. Our fund balance last year went from $680,000 to $1,373,000, of which we gave back $704,500, so basically almost half of it went back to taxpayers. So on the current fund, I have no complaints. We're doing very well. On the source side, we're doing very well also. We're paying back the debt. We had the first year I was here, we had to raise sewer rates because we had to fill a hole. In the meantime, we've been creating some surplus, some excess fund balance, and what we've been doing is paying back from the sewer. We've been paying back the current fund because of that huge interfund, which gave us that negative cash flow on the current fund side, hence the reason why we had to borrow $2 million in tax anticipation notes. So Natasha's got a plan, so you know, we've talked it over, to pay back that interfund within a certain amount of time. We're a little ahead of our schedule. So for the sewer utility, our fund balance at the beginning of the year, at 2012, started at $778,000. We ended the year with $923,000. Again, very healthy. Nothing to complain about. So with that, that's basically your operation and your fund balances. What I'll do is go into the comment or recommendations. And again, these are the same as last year, unfortunately, because of, and I'll explain why. The first one is that there's interfunds between funds, receivables and payables. Those have to be liquidated. The problem is we can't liquidate those interfunds because of the sewer utility not having the funds to pay back the other funds, which in turn is like a domino effect. Once sewer pays back the other funds pay back the other funds, and it sort of goes right down the line. So we still have those, and again, we have a plan
Could you tell, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I was just, finally had two questions, that's why I'm like, what page, I couldn't find it, what pages are the inner funds on here? I'm like, what's our balance to all these inner funds?
I do actually have a schedule, I will give it.
I couldn't, I just, I've seen it in the past.
Here it is, page 45.
Page 45.
On the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So you can see the biggest one is, sewer capital owes general capital, $311,000. And again, that's just because of the way the accounting was done way back when, even before I got here.
So how much was in the budget in 2013 to pay that?
Well, we didn't, we don't budget it, that's the thing. There's a plan to have cash, and we're gonna pay, well, actually, we do have deferred charge.
$400-something thousand.
Yeah.
To pay all of that and whatever is,
So at the end of 2013, we won't see that.
What, yeah. Well, the budget amount really doesn't necessarily have to do, it does have to do with this, but it's not like you raise money in the budget to pay off inner funds.
No, yeah, I know.
There's debt that wasn't funded.
Mm-hmm.
Because of some receivables in the sewer, when we did this huge sewer project, the receivables didn't come in, so we paid the amount, we expended that money, we issued debt, but we never issued debt on some of this stuff, so it's outstanding. So we expended it, and we don't have the money to pay for it. It's basically unissued debt. So what we're doing is funding that authorized but issued debt over time,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to cause a better cash flow, which in case now we can pay back the inner funds.
Right. So in 2013, we'll be paying back. We need to assume a loan from the bid, and so I want to make sure we're all squared away next year.
Yeah.
We have $577,000 in debt authorized but not issued in SOAR. So we have basically $430,000 paying off $577,000, which then will help the cash flow of the SOAR capital, which will then be able to hopefully pay back the inner funds.
Okay.
But we still have then roughly about 100 and something left for the 2014 budget.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Tom, I got a question.
Does this
affect our state audit at all?
No.
No.
This had something to do with the sewer treatment plant, and it was receivable due from the government, and prior administration thought they collected all the money, but they, being that you had no general ledgers like we do now, we never knew where our receivables were from the state. So basically, what happened is the state said the money's gone, or do you need the money? No, we're paid up, but really we weren't paid up, and this goes back 2000 and whatever, prior to me being here, so.
2006.
Probably 2006, 2007, something like that. Okay, there's a deferred charge, there are deferred charges to future taxation unfunded over 5 years old, and that's sort of the same thing, a deferred charge unfunded, meaning that we expended the money, but we didn't raise bonds or sell bonds. And the state basically says if you have deferred charges unfunded that are over 5 years old, you need to fund them.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, again, we're going to be funding them through future budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And there are tax overpayments on the balance sheet in current fund that need to be reviewed for possible cancellations.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came on, we had a tax overpayment list. And then when Natasha basically started up the general ledger, we couldn't verify some of the numbers that were on the audit report versus what was on a listing from the tax collector. So Natasha has been working, I was working with Kay prior to her retiring to try and come up with a solid number. So it's just a matter of coming up with a number, working through the system, and then Natasha's probably going to come through with a resolution to cancel some tax overpayments. Worst case scenario is if we cancel a tax overpayment that's still active and somebody comes knocking on our door, well, we can just pay them through budget operations, because that's where the excess monies from tax overpayments will wind up anyway,
mm-hmm.
in our fund balance.
Because we pay a lot of these every year. We just pay. But they're buying...
Tax overpayments are caused by multiples of things. Not that much. The problem is that we have to have a listing of what makes up by block and lot, what makes up the tax overpayments, so they're either applied or refunded. So we need to know what those are. So we're working on it. And that's all I have. Unless there's any other questions?
No, I'd just like to say this is the best annual report we've done since I've been on council, and we got rid of a lot of them through last year.
Absolutely.
They get better every year.
Yes.
Very good.
Yep.
Okay, any other questions for...
Just so you know, again, what you can just refer me to the page. How much do we pay off in debt loans? And like, what's our balance? Like, that's good.
Debt?
Because I know we...
Page 37. There's a lot of debt notes in this whole schedule.
I know.
Page 37 and 38.
Okay.
General, if you look on the right-hand side, general serial bonds, $478,000. Waste sewer loans, $4,144,000. And if you look on the left-hand side, you can see the payments for general fund. Actually, the general fund is $9 million. And the interest and the sewer and the sewer interest.
Yes, so we still owe almost $14 million.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I was reading the SOAR capital. The bottom of page 37 shows you the general fund, the $9,099,000.
Okay.
The SOAR was $478,000, and the loan was $4,144,000. So it's total. We have compensated absences in there, which is sick and accrued vacation, but taking that out, you still got $13,800,700-something.
Okay, thanks. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm really moving along.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Natasha, do you want to speak to the corrective action plan?
No, except you recall last year, I think we had 12, so well, down to three.
Three,
So I enjoyed filling out only three blanks. Submit the plan for you, and I hope you accept it, and hopefully next year that page will be blank.
Anybody have any questions for Natasha on that? Okay, then I would...
I'll make the motion that we approve the corrective action plan.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we'll start there. Any other discussion on that?
Don't we have to do the certification of the auditors?
Does it matter?
You should probably do the resolution.
All right, I'll rescind my motion and make the motion to pass the resolution first.
And I'll rescind my second, in accordance with Ms. Wheeler.
Then I'll second the certification.
Okay, and that's resolution 106. Any discussion on that? Let's do a roll call on that one, please.
Gleba?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Henry?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Okay. And now to approve the corrective action plan.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Any discussion on that? Let's do a roll call on that one, too.
Gleba?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Henry?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to council appearances. Mr. Rice, you're up first.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Ray Rice, Jade Partners Washington, LLC. And this is a continuation of my previous appearance before the council with respect to the municipal parking lot located to the south of Krausers. Before I get into that, what I'd actually like to do is, I didn't have the benefit of an elevation of what we're proposing to do on what is now the PNC and the St. Cloud property, and I did have an opportunity to appear before the planning board and share that with the planning board. I would say that they were enthusiastic about what we're proposing to do, and it is our intention, we're in the midst of undertaking the engineering for that site right now, to file the plans in, you know, a relatively short period of time. But what I'll do right now is just real quickly, I can kind of talk a little bit about what we got going on here. This would actually be the street elevation of where the PNC and the St. Cloud property is. It actually is a four-story building, ground floor retail. The ground floor retail consists of 7,200 square feet and 51 apartments. The apartments are actually 20
two bedrooms and 31 one bedrooms. And obviously the required parking that would be a component of the development. So that's just a little overview of what's going on in that section of the property. But what I'd really like to talk about now is the municipal parking lot. And did a little research on that. And there were a couple things that I came up with that I'd just like to have the benefit of reviewing with the council. I think most of you know the downtown in the borough is in a redevelopment zone. Mm-hmm. The particular area that we're talking about is actually identified under your redevelopment zone as subarea 6, okay? And I'm going to pass around some of the things that I actually printed off, and this is actually the reevaluation that was done to the original plan that was carried out by Higher Gruel for the council. And what I'd specifically like to talk about is, prior to passing those around, is a couple of the findings that were actually made by the redevelopment committee and the ratified by the council with respect to what subarea 6 is about. And I'll just be very brief here and hit the high points, but subarea 6 basically pertains to block 95. It's generally defined by Washington Avenue in the north, Lincoln Avenue in the west, and Broad Street to the east. Retail buildings include the Krausers and the PNC and the Stover building. And in addition, one of the findings was that the remaining portion of subarea 6 is occupied by disconnected parking lots. The final conclusion of that paragraph is, subarea 6 has tremendous opportunity for short-term improvements and should be considered a priority. So before I move on, what I'd like to actually talk about is what we're actually proposing to do, not only on this section of the property, but also the Krauser section in the municipal parking lot, is consistent with the original conclusions of the redevelopment zone. The other things that I'd like to talk about is some of the highlights for that in goals of the zone was that, and this is specific, it is recommended that the surface parking lot south of the Krausers building, this is the municipal lot, be replaced by buildings which front on Lincoln Avenue and access for the site from the rear. So the development of that property, the municipal parking lot specifically, was always contemplated when this area was looked at. And what we would be proposing to do, in fact, would be consistent with that conclusion. The final thing is that the front building, this is now block 95, lot 1, which is the Krausers. There's a narrative here. The building is a single-story parking area, and the front yard does not contribute to the intended character of the downtown. It is recommended that the existing building be replaced with a signature 3-4-story mixed-use building that marks the western gateway to the town. So what I would respectfully submit to the council here tonight is what we're proposing to do is, number one, entirely consistent redevelopment plan. It furthers the goals of the redevelopment plan, specifically with subarea 6, but also the entire redevelopment plan in totality. And my partners and I do believe that we have the capability to be successful on this job. It is indisputable that that municipal parking lot is a component of what we would like to redevelop. And I would hope that the council would see the wisdom in that. And the final thing that I would submit is that I went and looked at the Midtown redevelopment site that was done by Mr. Van Cleef. And with respect to Dave's concern and the row house that's on the opposite side of South Lincoln, we went and looked at that. I looked at it. My partner, Dr. Dulin, also looked at it. We looked at it at all times of the day in the usage. And it is our opinion, having looked at this quite some number of days and over the course of a time period, that what we're really talking about is 7 to 8 spaces. There's a couple things that I can point out about that. First and foremost, to the extent that we recognize that somebody's parking there right now, and if the site's redeveloped, there becomes a question
of where they park, what's the consideration with respect to that. I think ultimately, just as I suggested at the first meeting, folks, is that the answer lies in, depending on the use that we have on that property, and we have two potential users, it's going to be a part of the developer's agreement. Very similar to what happened with Mr. Van Cleef's Midtown development, where there's actually some reservation for spaces that were made. But that is, in fact, part of the development process. And it's the only reason I bring that point up is it's hard for me right now to commit anything without knowing who the user is. And I think it frankly inhibits maybe who we could have as a user there. And we'd like to have the opportunity to bring the most suitable user to the site, consistent with the goals of the redevelopment plan, but also for the benefit of the borough, and obviously the benefit for us, because, you know, we are obviously in this to make money. We're going to put our dollars forward, and that's essentially it at the end of the day, folks. We really would like to proceed. I think it's a great project for the borough. We believe we can be successful, and we're asking the council consideration to move forward on this.
Thank you.
Okay. And you know what? Let me just pass these around, too.
I have a question.
Mr. Higgins has questions.
I'm sorry. Yes.
The developer's agreement that you talked about with Van Cleef property, the borough still, well, the bid owns that parking lot. He does.
Right. So I understand that. But I think at the end of the day, the point I was trying to make is that in fact ended up just being part of the developer's agreement and incorporated into it. And Sandy actually raised a very good point at the last meeting I was at, and I had forgotten all about this, but I happened to be involved with the CBS site in Morristown, and we had a very similar situation. We had a four-unit building located on Speedwell Avenue. It literally, the land area for the building is the building. And so what ultimately ended up negotiated was we provided six spaces overnight from certain specific hours for the residents that were in that building. Now, the real reality of the matter is you can go by any of these pharmacies at the end of the day. I've yet to see one where I went by and 100% utilization of the parking is happening. It just doesn't happen because figuratively, when they design these buildings, the presumption is based on square footage, and the square footage drives the parking ratio. At the same time, they're following what they call the ASHTO standards, and it's a little bit technical, but the parking is designed presuming that all the square footage in the building would be utilized at one point in time. Never happens. So it's an ebb, it's a flow, it's an ebb, it's a flow. It's going to be heavier certain times, and at night, it's going to be a lot less. That's the least used time of day for almost any type of use, commercial.
Could I ask Marianne a question since she's here?
Sure.
Has the planning board done any kind of like consideration? My concern is not this Krause's property, it's the 51 apartments. Like, has the planning board, what is their feeling on is that 51? I mean, I think Washington has enough apartments.
Well,
you know, we really have plenty of apartments in Washington. So my concern is like the traffic on that Washington Avenue. It's sitting at those lights for a long time on a regular day, let alone having 51 residents now. And who knows, they could have two people with two cars in that, you know, that are now driving, you know. So I'm wondering what the planning board's take is on the 51 apartments.
That was a topic of conversation.
Like a traffic study. Has a traffic study been done?
Oh, yeah, it was done when we did the redevelopment plan. That was part of the discussion when we did the redevelopment plan. That was, and I mean, I don't have everything with me to address because it's not really good. The idea of the dense housing and the cluster-type housing for the downtown is a model that has been proven throughout the state and throughout the country that supports a vibrant and successful downtown business district. So while you assume, or we assume, that a lot of apartments are going to bring a lot of traffic, it is incumbent upon the developers to create that parking and traffic model to support a healthy flow of traffic, not dump everybody onto 57. If you look at the redevelopment plan, you'll see that the traffic does not dump onto 57, it dumps onto ancillary streets. It's also incumbent upon the developers to make sure that those road improvements are going to support that particular need to go onto those streets. the downtown business district could never survive unless we have the appropriate residential component that will support that downtown. And in order to attract a housing market that's going to help this community to grow, and I'm so impressed with what I've heard this evening. I'm so pleased. I'm going to walk out here with a wow factor because you've come so far, and you're now bringing businesses in that are up and coming. And you have an opportunity to finally, after this recession, maybe we're coming out of it, to make Washington this buzzword destination. And that was the original intent. When we started the redevelopment plan, the research for the redevelopment plan, we saw a community that was empty, it was terrible. And it was very hopeful when we had the plan. And we started the project, and then, kind of the rug got pulled out from us, and not just us, but the other community. So we're not any different than anybody else. And we were so dedicated to the redevelopment plan, and nothing happened for a long time, and that's because of things that were beyond our control. And I'm so very excited that somebody is stepping up to the plate. And I won't comment on Mr. Rice's project specifically because it would be inappropriate because he has to come up with a plan. But I'm so excited that somebody is finally going to take this plan and try to make Washington what it can be. With respect to parking lot, that parking lot that you're talking about is falling off the face of the earth, but that parking lot is very important. That parking lot needs to serve whatever redevelopment project is going to happen, whether it's Mr. Rice's or anybody else's that the council and the planning board approve. The most important thing is that the developer agrees to reserve parking spots for those people who live across the street. Now, that was something that Mr. Rice has attested to, and I can't comment that he will do it or he won't do it. I'm just saying that
He'll do it.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea for them to have this parking lot. Number one, it improves the site. Number two, it makes the potential site attractive to a very healthy development that we need for our downtown. And number three, you also have an opportunity to improve that site. And that's something that really needs to be done. And maybe most importantly, you put it back on the tax rolls. Because when you have a development, you're bringing in tax dollars that help to reduce the tax rate for everybody else. So I applaud you for taking this into consideration, and I'm kind of leaving here with a wow factor. You guys have done a great job. I'm impressed.
If I could just piggyback on that a little bit, the way the parking is all going to be, they're all going to be kind of interconnected, so it's not like everybody's going to dump out onto 57 also. They'll have access to go out to Broad Street or onto to South Lincoln also, particularly if they're going south.
But I'm thinking
it's a big picture.
Because aren't we closing part of that Lincoln with the railroad? Isn't the railroad?
Well, we're not 100% sure it's going to happen. That may not come to fruition.
They're not going to be able to go on, on Lincoln.
But then again, you guys think of the past history. When that St. Cloud was in operation, when the bank building was fully in operation, you had a lot of traffic at that time. Now, it fell off, 5, maybe 6 years ago when the building burned down and TNT moved across the street. So you still had traffic at that point. Maybe not as much as you're going to have, but it's pretty close.
But
you
had
less means of egress at that point, too.
I will tell you that when they were considering the development I live in now, there was such a concern that there were going to be 125 homes going in. Where are, 4 cars for 125 homes going to go to? It's not a problem. It's not the problem that they thought it was going to be. Oh, my God. You're going to have 250 minimum cars coming in and out of Carlton Avenue, and so on and so forth, Kinneman Avenue, Miller Avenue, and it's really, sometimes people who live downtown don't even have 2 cars.
I think trends are changing now. I think there's not a car, and families are starting to change. It's not as much as used to.
Yeah, so I applaud you for considering
Rob, you have something?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Mr. Rice if he could just readdress the, you brought up the redevelopment plan, of course. It originally talked about a medical arts building.
Right.
So if you could just, explain again why this is off the table and now you decide to do something different.
Well, no. The redevelopment plan actually had proposed a medical arts building for that property. The reality is that the idea that that's going to happen
in my opinion, respectfully, as a developer, is incredibly unlikely. Couple reasons. One is that there's been a medical plaza built south on Route 31 opposite Hawk Point Country Club. That's one factor. But the most important factor is that the, and it's no surprise to anybody here because we've all heard about it, we now have Obamacare and how the business of practicing medicine, and one of my partners did very eloquently speak about this, Dr. Dearlam, will be somebody that will impact it. There are, you know, significant changes coming down the road, and the standalone medical facilities that in the past were seen as vehicles to actually, how would I want to phrase this, actually funnel patients by establishing, you know, doctors affiliated with certain hospitals in certain locations, is probably something that right now it would be an incredibly challenged thing to do.
Just so everybody knows, they're putting an urgent care in at 31 and Asbury Bloomsbury Road, too.
Right. So, but to get back to, and that's a good point, I didn't even know that, but to get back to Mrs. Torres' point, so...
Who are you reaching out to possibly to occupy? What are you looking for?
Retail users.
Retail.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
Retail users, because, and you know,
How many floors would that building be, then, if it's just retail?
Most likely it's going to be a one-story, could possibly be a two-story building, too.
Well, see, and that, again, and Marianne's here, so she could also, I mean, in the redevelopment plan, it did say that the far western, you know, entrance would be highlighted with this higher building, but you decided to have it instead, the lower building at the corner of Lincoln, as opposed to you're going to have your higher building in the middle of the block.
Right.
Little different than the plan, that's all I'm saying.
No, it is, but you have to understand something, Mr. Torres, with redevelopment plans, and I had this very similar situation in Hackettstown, where we're redeveloping the Bergen Tool site. Mm-hmm. If you actually look at what was originally proposed versus what ultimately is going to be approved now, it does not 100% match the concept, because redevelopment plans,
sure,
by nature,
plan,
state a concept, and then they offer flexibility. The key thing with redevelopment plans is what are the goals of the plan? And we feel that the redevelopment plan, as it's described here for sub-area 6, that we are consistent with that in terms of the goals and what's going to be achieved and what revitalizes the downtowns at the end of the day.
Okay.
And you know, one other thing I did touch on, although Mr. Higgins did at the last meeting, and maybe he's going to mention it, the economic benefit for the borough from what we're doing will be enormous. Okay. Besides the tax benefit, the real biggest benefit, in my opinion, is that the dollars that you're going to have from people that are now living in the downtown, and what that does for all the retailers, the restaurants, the shoe repair guy who I frequent pretty often right here, in all the other businesses. I mean, it's enormous. It is absolutely enormous. And, you know, downtowns work, folks, because people are spending dollars in the downtown. And right now, that's the challenge. And it's not just Washington Borough. It's all over the place. And that's what we think we're bringing here.
Dave? Yeah, I do have a question. Have you talked to Jack Van Cleese?
No.
At all?
No.
Okay, since he put his buildings up over there, you know, the low floor, exactly what you're trying to do right here has been retail. He's had quite a turnover.
Well, he has, but Jack actually did condominiums.
Okay. But he's renting them now. I mean, they're rental properties.
No.
Not all of them.
Yeah, he actually sold some.
Some.
He's retained others.
Right.
So different concept here. We're going to entirely be lease-oriented. Okay, we're not looking to condominiumize or anything like that. And as I told the planning board when I appeared before them, is we actually right now believe we have of that space, and I'm talking about the retail space that's actually on the PNC,
right,
and the former St. Cloud site, that we probably have interest for 70% of the space.
Okay, so what is it that you want from us tonight, Ray?
What I'd like is... and I'll defer to Mrs. Copen on how this happens, but the council to move forward to make this lot available for purchase.
Could I have address a question to Mr. Reisner?
Sure.
Is it your position that because this is in the redevelopment zone, that if the borough determined that they wanted to sell this parcel, that they could do so without putting it out for public bid?
I do believe that's the case. But
and
I'm going to defer to you.
That may, I need to double check on that because I think when I first considered this, I was not aware that this was in the redevelopment zone.
Okay, so you need to check on that.
Yeah, but
because we were originally figuring to put it out to bid.
Mm-hmm. And
I thought we were going to try and do something like we did with the Gibson parking lot, where some of them would definitely be dedicated.
Right.
Well, that would be part of the bid document.
We can make it part of the agreement, as you said last time.
Or would it be? Would that be considered a developer's agreement for him to purchase that?
I have to look at the statute concerning the redevelopment zone.
Okay.
But my recollection is that there is some provision contained in there for sale of parcels to
developers
identified individuals.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Are you looking for an on-the-record statement of we support what you're doing?
No,
are
actually.
Going to move forward.
Well, I will take that. What I'd actually really like would be to be able to move forward on this because we're going to be moving forward on the other piece. And there's not much more we can really add to the conversation at this point, frankly.
Okay, my concern, Ray, though.
Yeah, we have to get the attorney to look at it.
No, I understand that. No, absolutely. And I think that's legitimate. I'm going to defer to Ms. Copen, but I will tell you I am very familiar with the redevelopment law in New Jersey. I do believe the capability that you actually have exists to actually directly sell the property by virtue of the fact it's in a redevelopment zone. There's a process where somebody has to be designated the quote-unquote redeveloper.
What I'm thinking is to have someone make a motion to direct the attorney to find the methodology that is necessary for the redevelopment zone.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Torres?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Gleba?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ray.
Hey, Ray, I figured out you could quadruple your parking. Put a parking garage in there.
Look, if you guys want to float a 200-year bond at 1% and that can get past
the
CFO, okay, we'll be happy to do it.
That's just a recommendation.
0.9% and you might have a deal.
Yeah, well, that would be high. I was actually looking to start negative. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Camerata, you have something that you'd like to bring before us this evening?
Certainly do.
Okay. You're up.
How you doing? Bob Camerata, Assistant Chief, Washington Fire Department. I was here a couple weeks ago to discuss the problem with the doors that lead into the garage bays. I was asked by council to go out and get a few more quotes, and that I did. So at this point, I guess I've done what you've asked, so we'd like to get those doors fixed.
So well, we didn't get the two quotes.
I'm sorry?
Last we heard from the manager, she hadn't received the quotes.
Mr. Mayor,
so we don't have any.
I make a motion to open the audience portion.
Second.
Ray Rice with the council appearance.
And we need to get an audience portion for that?
For him. He's not on the
agenda. He's not on the agenda.
Oh, for him. Well, I do have something to have him added to the agenda.
Oh, we didn't get that.
I do have a request from, Christine is the fire department on the agenda for Tuesday night, and add to the agenda.
Did you get the quote?
No, I haven't.
He's going to give them to us this evening. That's my understanding.
Yes, I have them right in hand.
Okay.
I apologize for being late. I was on my way to make copies of them, and I realized, they started already.
That's all right.
So,
Jameer, I think you should have either a motion to add him to the agenda or to open the audience portion, whichever you think.
Okay, how about a motion to add him to the agenda?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Sorry, Bob.
Government has finest.
Formalities. Gotta love it, right? Last time I was here, Mr. Torres asked a question on a timeline. Okay.
Yes, I did.
And my answer was somewhat sarcastic, as tomorrow. So now I throw the ball back in your court.
What are the estimates that you have yet? 5,200, I think, was the number?
I have one for 5,200. Somewhere, yeah, one for 5,200, one for 6,120.
May I say it again?
One for 5,200, another one for 6,120. Another one for 6,400, and I received another one tonight for 3,720.
Now, what kind of doors are we talking about? Wood, metal?
I'm going to go off the
plastic.
They're steel doors, primed and ready. Whatever that means. I'm not a contractor, so they will have panic bars. One door will have a combination lock. New door opener. The door closers. They'll have 90-minute burn time.
What's that?
Fire resistant.
So that's basically it, and it'll be for both doors. That's for two doors.
Okay, Natasha, do we have the money? $3,700, you say, is the low bid?
$3,720.
They came after we approved the budget. We need two new doors.
For fire department?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the fire department.
Hold up now.
It's
a
fire
building.
It's a
Borough
Hall building.
Yeah, thank you. Borough Hall building.
That's
fine.
It's security.
Can anyone use the doors or only the fire department?
Anybody. It's security issues, basically, in all honesty.
Do we need to find 3,700?
Yes, that's the question.
Then I'll find 3,700.
What's involved with it? Is that the glass? I don't know how that works. What's the first
thing?
Well,
we have to
close.
It's under the bid. It's below the bid threshold. We can just do a purchase order to a vendor.
So tell us about the 3,720 doors. Then.
What would you like to know about them?
Are they all exactly the same?
The doors that we currently have are wooden.
Right. No, but I mean, of all your quotes, are they exactly apples to apples?
Yeah, basically.
Criteria-wise.
Material-wise, yes. Yes,
different
they are.
Manufacturers or something like that.
Probably different manufacturers, I would imagine.
Who's the vendor?
D.C. Williams would be the low bid.
Mm-hmm. Can you just give me the copies of the quotes?
Yeah, I'll make copies for you and get that for you.
Has the fire department tried to solicit any donations for that?
No, we have not.
Okay.
I got a question, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
When the road department needed a new front end loader,
what
do
you get the road department?
This is an example. They didn't have to solicit donations to get that road department.
Yeah. But it's a fair question.
For this building, not for the fire department.
It's a matter of security for the building as well.
It's a very
but when you needed
question.
The bays done in order to get the new fire truck in, we solicited donations.
Right. They also donated for all the garage door bays, all at 6 months, 25,000.
It was just an ask. You know, if there's anybody you think you can get to, that would be wonderful. I'll hit a couple people up and see what I can do.
Respectfully, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But my feeling is, to step away from the fire department, I'm a taxpayer. This is Borough Hall. Taxpayer funded. I don't think we should be soliciting our residents and taxpayers so we can fix doors that technically should be paid for by the borough anyway. That's a personal feeling from a taxpayer.
Okay. And I'm just looking out to lower the burden on the taxpayer, and if there's any issue finding $3,700, we've got a little cover.
I understand that burden. That's just my position on it. That's all.
I understand. Okay. Fair enough.
So do you want to get back to us where you're going to find the money from?
She got it.
Who's going to lose out $3,700?
Council.
Fund balance.
You're getting paid.
No, I can't. I'll have to take a look. I think
Ruskin
talked to me about it a little bit.
Didn't we put money in the capital?
We did, but those are all committed.
Every dollar?
Yep. There is a purpose specific in each capital problem.
So where would this come out of then, Natasha? Just off the top of your head.
I'll just have to take a look and see if anybody has extra. What we'll do is we'll fund it, and then in November, if somebody's short, I'll come back to you and ask for the transfer resolution.
See, that's not good.
Thank you for your concern for the safety of the municipal building.
If you could let us know where it's...
Thank you, Assistant Chief Camerota. Yes, thank you.
So, what's the answer to that?
The answer is yes, as long as we can find the money, and I think we probably need that as a motion.
Probably that would be...
Can I ask for a timeline on that? I mean, the doors, they don't close at this point. The other day when...
Can I be sarcastic about it?
No. Absolutely. The other day, you know, just the other day when one of the vendors was here to look, to give it the estimate, I told him, oh, hang on, let me go inside and open the door. And just for no reason, I pulled on the door and it opened.
Okay.
I mean, the doors, they don't lock. I mean, this is something that really needs
security.
Security.
Right. Right. Natasha, when do you think you can find the cash?
I will be here Thursday all day, so Thursday I'll find cash.
Okay.
So I guess I'd like to make a motion to direct Natasha and the finance department to find this funds so that we can purchase these doors.
Second.
Municipal building doors, correct?
Municipal building doors, of course.
Okay, is there any other discussion? Roll call, please.
For the north doors, because next year we might do the other...
Do I have the approval to tell, get a date of install from the winning bidder?
I would say tell them that you're all ready, you just need one last approval and schedule it.
Okay.
Is that fair?
When I find the money, we'll have the purchase order done and you can have that purchase order given to the vendor.
I'll make you the copy.
That's the phone number. And your phone number, check it inside.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And that roll call, please.
Torres?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Gleba?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
All right, at this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests.
Make a motion to close the audience portion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Ordinance for 2013.
Make a motion to introduce ordinance for 2013 for introduction. And have the deputy clerk read by the title only.
Yep.
I didn't ask.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
There were two.
Roll call.
Higgins?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Gleba?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Conley?
Yes.
Mhm. All right. Ordinance 4-2013, an ordinance providing for the funding of various capital purchases for the Borough of Washington, appropriating $366,500 for such purpose.
Move to approve on first reading?
Move to approve on first reading.
Second.
Any other discussion? One more roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Gleba?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Do you have a publication date?
Yep. Public hearing on ordinance 5-2000. So two different numbers.
Four.
Okay, will be June 18, 2013, an advertisement of the public hearing in the Star Gazette on May 30th, 2013.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? And a roll call on that, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Gleba?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to reports.
Big motion to receive and receive and file the reports as submitted.
Second that.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Code Book Committee. Do you have a report for us this evening?
I do, and I'm sorry that we couldn't put them in your mailboxes on time, so apologies for that, but I have new handouts if... you can just be patient with me for a second. Now, I'll pass these around. And this is, again, the same procedure as last time. Basically, this is just to review at your leisure until the next meeting, which we could, of course, vote on this item session.
I'm just making sure I have.
If not, we'll get one for Christine.
I don't have enough for council. All right, so if I could just go through these real quick with you. Basically left off up to chapter 31, which is unfit buildings. And as you can see, there's not too many changes here until chapter 35. Basically that one would be a title change, changing it from dogs and cats to animals. And then we would have underneath that title, we would have different articles. One would be dogs and cats, then we would add in farm animals and wild and exotic animals. We're changing the word poundkeeper to animal control officer. You can just read through. I'm on.
Yeah, take your time. You know,
yeah, but I'm just going to give you the overview now. We recommend to repeal Chapter 37, which is dry cleaning establishments, because it was no longer enforced since 1953. There's a bunch of changes in Chapter 39, which are the government record fees, which you can see those. Firearms, there's just a couple of. A lot of these changes are just because of verbiage. For example, if it says Washington Borough Police, we're changing to Washington Township Police Department.
Yeah, I had a question about that.
Yeah.
Are we sure we want to jump on that real fast and change that right away? Because what if down the road we decide maybe we might go back to a Borough Police Department again? It just so happens maybe.
That's a good question, and that's certainly
something
that we should discuss maybe further.
I think that could be handled by a wording change of you know, the police serving
right.
the Borough of Washington or something along
yeah,
those lines.
Yeah, do that too.
Sure. Right. All right, so if we can address that, maybe a later issue, you know, when the time is appropriate.
Well,
maybe
when we talk about it next time, we can.
Yeah,
that could be part
exactly.
Of
that
mm-hmm.
could be part of it. Chapter 42 is fire prevention, which is currently in attorney review. As I understand it, Ms. Copin, that's something that's been forwarded to you now, the revised edition of this fire prevention.
Actually, no, the last that I had forwarded it to your official, and I don't think I have anything back. I'm going to have to tell you. It's been a number
of months.
It
probably could have been forwarded while you're on vacation. So,
okay, I will tell. I didn't see it,
okay.
But that.
Well, we're still waiting on that, so hopefully by the next meeting we'll be able to get that. Fire zones, a lot of these were also way behind the times in the standard maximum penalties for these you know, ordinances. If there's fines involved, so we're just updating a lot of this stuff. So most of this stuff is updating. I attached a letter, which is from the attorney, recommending repealing this chapter 43, which is conduct at fires, because it's entirely compatible to the statute, which is listed here for false alarms.
You want
blood
us to
damage.
Take a look at this, and are we going to discuss it at the next meeting?
Yes,
right.
that would be the best thing to do.
Right.
Okay.
I'm
And there's another handout too regarding the fire insurance. So those should be attached. If not, we'll get you a copy.
Okay.
All right.
That's it. Sounds good. All right. We have no old business.
I have one thing to add to the committee report. Just a friendly reminder for people who don't have access to your internet: the paving will begin on June 17th for the following streets: North Prospect, North Lincoln Church, Belvedere Avenue, Jackson, and Allegra Street. The work will begin promptly at 7 o'clock a.m. and hopefully promptly end at 5 o'clock p.m. And just so anybody has any questions, please visit our website or contact the clerk. Thank you.
I do have a question, if I could.
Go ahead.
On Allegra Street, it looks like they've already started some things, and because our...
Allegra Street?
Yeah.
Okay.
They resurface of what they disturbed. On the
water
line.
That's it.
Right.
So, okay. It's still June 17th scheduled for that.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
All right. Anything else, Mr. Jewell?
That's it. That's all I have. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. New business. We have a approval of a new member for the fire department.
New old
Robert one. Harrington. Set the motion to approve him.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Resolution 103 and 104 for tax certificates?
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion on those? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Leba?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. 105, 2013, appointing the risk management consultant who has gone through a name change.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Vouchers.
Make a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of the vouchers?
I do. Ann or Natasha, I guess Natasha sent you here. On page 7, it's not a question. It's under the library, there are the Comcast charges. All the Comcast charges should be taken out of that trust, out of that grant. You know, like we do for the DPW.
Even the library?
Yeah, even the library.
Okay. We'll reimburse the library for their...
Right. Right. Just like we do for the DPW, we do it for the Borough Hall. The library should be...
How much left in that trust, by the way? Anybody have any numbers at all?
Like over 24,000.
So that's good for quite a while.
Yeah,
it's
good
imagine.
For quite a while.
Anything else?
Especially now that we had to cut back their budget.
I just have one thing for Natasha, too. I just don't like the where it says miscellaneous on some of our accounts still. And we, you know, on our vouchers, I mean, it's just keeps coming up. I guess
because
it's...
Because there is a six, we went from four digits on account numbers to six. So there's still numbering, but I don't mean for you keep the same name over and over
yeah.
and over. So that's
no,
why...
I understand. I'm just trying to help to clean it up because, it, you know, it's just it's annoying, really, in a way. But
any idea when we'll be able to identify that it's a trust account?
Are you talking about the last
page?
No. Well,
yeah, that's one
of the
ones. Give me an example, I guess.
For example, all of recreation, used to be, the account number used to start with a T, so we knew then that it was coming from a trust account.
And now it starts with a 16.
I don't know what it is. It's numeric. But same with
right,
like Comcast, it would say T, you knew it was coming out of the trust.
So would you look at it for 16 to say?
Well, is 16 just recreation?
Yes, yeah, 16 is only recreation. And that's why on the back page where you have the summary, it says 16 recreation trust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On the back.
And they are all 16s, I noticed. But it
but
just
but for example,
it out. It doesn't
either, oh, wait. What page is recreation?
Left.
15. Last page.
Starts in the morning.
Maybe we need a table of contents. That'll be fine.
It's on the back.
Right here.
Yeah.
The code, the legend is on the back.
It's on the back. Right, it's got one current, two grand, three developers, up to 14 other.
Well, for example, you have the payroll account. That starts with a 16. That's not coming from the trust.
No, no, no. It's a recreation payroll. Payroll could not be starting with the trust.
It does. It says right there under miscellaneous on the last page.
It does.
What do you call last page? Page
fourth one down.
Page 13. Is, well, I only have page 13 of
15. Right.
Page 13.
That's what I got.
Okay. Page 13.
Under
the Girlfriend Bowl Karate Park Playground.
You have a different bill list than me?
Yes.
I have the one that says 13.
You have miscellaneous softball, you have miscellaneous Sandy Hoover, you have miscellaneous, the very first one is Washington Borough payroll.
Yeah.
Right, that's the recreation payroll, so they're paying for their payroll.
But it says, but it's not coming from trust, it's coming from trust?
Yeah, it's recreation
that's
payroll. It's
we
for
gave
their
them
part-timers.
The money.
They pay for their part-timers for the summer program. We don't pay
the referees, the lifeguards, the people who like basketball on fire.
Okay, that's not all right.
It's not the director and the secretary.
If I could, all I'm saying is, if we eliminate that quadruple zero miscellaneous down here, then it would be a lot more clear without having this bold miscellaneous pop up. Because then, you know, you have to backtrack kind of, and you know what I'm saying? It's just confusing.
Right, it says girls don't bowl. That's whole categories for the girls don't bowl. That's whole categories for karate, parks and playgrounds. So it sums it all up by the fourth number. And it's recreation.
Well, I think he means like on page 10, you have miscellaneous for kids of the block. I mean, that's a difference.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not recreation.
Right.
it's miscellaneous for all different things, not just recreation.
Right. We're just hopefully trying to get that word taken out of our budget, out of our system.
It'll be tough to eliminate completely, but to reduce the occurrence of it is certainly...
But isn't it, it adds to the confusion of it all.
It does.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Anything else?
Our point is, we like the other report better.
This needs to be tweaked more.
Anything else? Roll call, please, on the vouchers.
Higgins?
Yes, on any, except for anything that has to do with the fire department, I will abstain.
Okay, Conry?
Yes.
Gleba?
Yes.
Jewel?
Yes, except for the fire department and the rescue squad bills.
Torres?
Yes.
Thompson?
Everything but the fire company and rescue squad.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay. Guess let's do a recap, Ann. Do we have anything on your recap list?
Only finding the funds for the fire.
Okay.
Doors?
The municipal building doors.
Getting to that.
On the fire department side.
Okay.
Let's not confuse her now.
Council remarks. Mr. Torres, let's start with you.
I have nothing.
Okay. Mrs. Conry?
Nothing.
Mrs. Gleba?
I just wanted to thank all the volunteers that came out to help with the recreation on the volunteer days, and thank them for their service to improve the community.
Mr. Thompson?
Just happy Memorial Day, and everybody be safe.
Okay. Mr. Jewel?
Same thing. Happy Memorial Day for our flags out to remember our veterans. That's it.
Mr. Higgins?
Quick question. I might have missed it, but did we get our financial statements on the email?
Mm-hmm.
We did?
Yes.
When did they got to be in by?
Yesterday.
Financial disclosure?
Yes.
I think they got pushed to May something.
Yeah.
I think May 31st.
May 31st?
Okay. It's in the email.
Help me fill it out?
we'll do it this week.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, sir?
No. I just want to thank Ann for filling in quite capably. And publicly say thank you to Tom and Sasha and to Christine for the job they've done with finances. And while I'm at it today, the attorney for checking on whether or not that's part of the development.
Okay. And I have nothing to add to that. We do need an executive session. So that would be Resolution 108-2013 for personnel issues.
You're fast.
And I would accept the motion for that after a 10-minute break.
I'll make the motion. Yes.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion? Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Abstentions?
You want 10-minute break.
I will make a motion to have the attorney research provisions of the personnel policy.
Discussion.
Yeah, provisions of the personnel policy.
Second.
Any discussion on that?
We'll come back with recommendations at a future meeting.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We'll accept the motion to adjourn.
Hold on. I got a question for the attorney.
Okay.
It's just about our discussion with the shared services and our police.
Yes.
If you could just give an update.
I can give you an update. Dick Cushing had been in communication with Mike Lavery, who is the attorney for the township, about scheduling the meeting. Mike Lavery had a trial in the beginning of May and was to get back to us as soon as he was free to have such a meeting. I exchanged probably 3 or 4 phone tags with him today, and he is wanting to schedule a meeting. However, we still were not able to actually connect with one another. So I should ask the members of the Shared Services Committee what dates, times are good, not good for you.
I'm on the committee. Any Monday is okay at any time.
Okay.
Or any other day during the week would be after 4.
And I'm okay with the same, so.
Sounds good. Now I know, and we will hopefully get that scheduled.
And if it's not done by a reasonable amount of time, yeah, then all bets are off.
I got you.
Anything else? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions.